You're listening to episode 84 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast, Brilliant Insights. The verdict is in.
Yeah, it's what I want you to talk about.
The verdict is in. All right. Turns out nobody likes Google Glass.
Yeah, tell me about that. This is fascinating.
Yeah, and so I'm going to get to the very end here, and I'm just going to go big fat, duh, okay?
Yeah.
Because clearly people are not paying attention to what happened historically with Android in general, but whatever.
Well, you know, you mean people are not paying attention to what happened historically with any new technology, but yeah, go ahead.
Well, yeah, because people hated the iPhone when that first was announced,
yeah.
And because I remember one guy, he was like, I thought this was the stupidest thing ever when it was announced, and I went to go do a hands-on so that I could properly bash it, and I ended up buying one that day.
Right. I mean, I mean, I think the iPhone was abnormally warmly accepted compared to a lot of, you know, new technologies.
Right.
And new changes in interface, and it was widely reviled as a retarded idea. I mean, a terrible idea. Or you know,
there's no keyboard.
It was like everybody thought it was awful at first, and yet it was one of the best received new ideas ever.
Right. And if you remember when Android first came out, I mean, let's be honest. That was a work in progress.
Oh, it was terrible.
And
I had a friend who had the G1. It was awful, man. It was like, how do you put up with this? He's like, dude, it's the future. No, it's not. This is awful.
Not the future yet. You know. And so keep all of that in your mind while I go through this list of why Google Glass is horrible. Okay?
Tell me. Okay.
So, you know, which they were like, okay, it might be the future, but it's clearly not the present. It's kind of their...
Whoa.
I think you're like,
congratulations, business insider.
Yeah, well, you know. So here's some of the things that are bad about Google Glass. You know, and I guess one of the reasons why this has become hot topic as of late, because I do notice, kind of stepping back, there are a few things that we talk a lot about. I've noticed I've talked a lot about Google Glass lately and a lot about Facebook. A lot less about Apple, because for the fact that they haven't done anything recently.
Was one of our yearly predictions, BTW. I mean, so far we are right on that. I just like to point that out. Apple's not going to do anything exciting this year, and so far they are well on track to continue to not impress us.
Just fine.
Yeah.
Anyways, number one, battery life is terrible.
Yes.
Apparently you only get like 3.5 hours.
Yeah. Well,
I put that in terrible category for something you're supposed to wear all the time.
It's well, the biggest problem that it has is that it's like constantly using a tremendous amount of data transfer. Like it's wireless data transfer, which is not a energy efficient process.
Is that different than Bluetooth?
Well, it is Bluetooth, but it's wireless. It's a tremendous amount of bandwidth to get from your phone to your eyes and back, because it's not only data, but it's data of like pictures.
From what I understand is it actually can connect to the internet directly via Wi-Fi itself, which you can't turn off if you go outside. So it's like searching for a wireless network all the time.
Right.
Which I guess your phone does technically, but it's just not quite where it needs to be yet, which I'm like, yeah, that needs to get a lot closer to like 8 or 16, a week.
The biggest problem that they have, from what I understand, is that it's not a replaceable battery. It's hard, you know, it's soldered in. So you can't even have extra batteries with you, which, you know, for me, it's like that's what I would deal with. People think this is ridiculous, but I charge my phone twice a day. And it's an iPhone 5, but I use it constantly. If I'm moving, I'm listening to music. When I'm sitting at my desk, I'm using it as a calculator and an extra screen. I use it all the time. So I'm just like constantly cranking through data and stuff. And so for me, I get the idea that, okay, this thing's going to need extra batteries. I would be okay with that, but yeah, it'd be nice to get it up to be able to last 8 hours so it can last a day.
Which
but,
it will.
It will. Yeah, exactly. It's that will happen eventually, but a replaceable battery, really should have thought that one through.
That'd be a good short-term fix, but...
Well, even as a not a short-term fix, I mean, until it lasts literally 48 hours so you can charge it at night, or 30 hours so you can wear it all day and then charge it at night, you know, until you get to that point, why doesn't it have a replaceable battery for something you're supposed to wear, constantly use, and have on all the time?
And maybe that's part of the thing, is you're not going to wear it constantly and all the time, so...
Actually, this is interesting. This is an interesting broader subject because I made a purchase this week. I bought the Fitbit One.
Really?
Which is basically a Bluetooth connected pedometer.
And, it's awesome.
It's very cool. I really like it.
We talked about it on the show.
Yes, we have talked about it on the show. It's actually not the wristband one. It's the little
clippy one.
And
syncs automatically to the internet, gives you an online dashboard display.
Oh man, yeah. And the really cool part is my Fitness Pal imports the data auto magically as well, because it uses all those API calls.
HP has a special shape up deal event where you can you track your stuff and you get awards and whatever, and it syncs with the Fitbit. It connects to their API. You just sign in with your Fitbit account and you're just kind of like, done. Now you're participating with the HP Shape Up program.
Nice. Cool. And it's very cool. I think the biggest problem and the biggest limitation that I see to it is entirely the battery. I mean, that's like, I suddenly realized that, like, when am I supposed to charge this thing? Because it's like, you're supposed to wear it at night and it'll track your sleep pattern. And then I want to wear it during the day so it keeps track of how many steps I'm taking. So, like, I literally...
stairs you climb too, which is
It was very cool. But I literally thankfully it's got a really long battery life. It lasts like 2-3 days on a charge. But like when I charged it, I like charged it at my desk, and I just like sat at my desk because I didn't want to get up and walk around and not get the which is like the dumbest way to look at it. But like I realized that's like where I'm at. Like I don't. But I mean, I want it to come with me. But it's kind of an issue. Like it's this is something that the wearable tech thing needs to be figured out. You know, you talk about smartwatches. Like, when am I supposed to charge this stuff? Like, I want to never take it off, but I need it to charge. This is where wireless electricity comes in. Everybody needs to get on the program. But it'll be interesting. I think Google Glass, the next generation, will almost assuredly have a replaceable battery, because I feel like that's the only way they're going to be able to justify it. Because that's a big problem right now. But yeah, so continue. What else is wrong with it?
Another one is that it is disorienting and can give you headaches. They say you can actually have trouble. This is ironic. Focusing on people or the things around you. So I'm like, wasn't it supposed to fix that? I don't understand.
Yeah, that's funny.
But it's just the basic idea of your eye has something that's super close that it's trying to focus on, and then it has something far away that it wants to focus on, and it just struggles to go back and forth between the two, which I'm like, eventually your muscles figure it out and do it. But I was watching another tech show, and they were talking about this other guy who's done a whole bunch of experiments with wearable glass technologies type of things. And he has said that he constantly goes through when he's testing something, he'll test it. And then when he takes it off, he has like problems because your eyes adapt to what's in front of it. And then when you take it away, it's like, I don't understand. And they referred to this experiment. And I remember we talked about this in psychology where this guy wore a set of glasses that actually turned the world upside down. And then it was really quick. It was like within a week, his eyes had already flipped it over, which apparently your eyes see the world upside down anyways, and your brain flips it for you to begin with or something weird. So I'm like, upside down. I don't understand.
Right. Well, it's because of how the lens, works. It inverts the image onto the back of your retina. And so your brain, in order to because things fall downwards, because you have all of the gravitational senses and you have all the balance and stuff, you're visually, you're watching things go go on the back of your retina, you're watching things go in the opposite direction that you know they're going. When you're when you close your eyes and jump up and fall down, you have a sense of direction. When you actually do that, everything goes, when you see that on the back of your retina, that goes differently. And so your brain, you know, we've just wired ourselves to flip that image right side up. And what we didn't realize, and why that psychology, that what that experiment was asking the question is that hardwired? Is that image switch, is that something that's just,
right.
You know, where is it? Where is it? It's like,
turns out it's not.
Right. The brain does that, you know, programmatically as opposed to hardware wise, and that experiment proves it because it'll switch it back to the right way it's supposed to be, which proves that, you know, or not proves, but indicates to how adaptable the brain is to that sort of a thing.
Yeah, so it's just kind of, which I'm like, we will adapt eventually, but there will probably be problems.
Well, how many people whine about, you know, like 3D, you know, 3D movies, and like, eh, it makes me sick and I want to throw up. Like, get over it. It's awesome.
Or you'll see people where they're wearing glasses or contacts the first time. Like, you know, it just gives you a headache when you're first.
Oh, yeah. So. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, this is definitely one of those. This is definitely like, to me, that sort of thing is the same as, I hate virtual keyboards because my fingers can't type on it. If you're not used to it yet, give it a second.
Right.
Goodness gracious. Right.
Another one, which is a legitimate one, is the screen's hard to see in bright light. Which is like, okay. And that will get fixed over time as the battery life gets fixed and, you know, they'll make the display better. Another one, which I'm like, dude, it's Beta Explorer. Give this 5 years. You can't tweak any of the settings. In Google Glass, you can't adjust volume levels, display brightness, you can't disable Wi-Fi or Bluetooth, you can't rearrange the application cards on the interface or set the priorities, you can't modify the default screen timeout length, and you can't enable a silent or do not disturb mode. So I was like, all right, those are all legitimate wants.
Those are problems, but they're all firmware issues that they probably will fix before the next version of the Glass comes out. That, you know, you'll get a firmware update.
Well, and that was stuff that we saw. That one is exactly what I was thinking about with Android. It was like, yeah, those are all features. And even with the iPhone, they're like, cut and paste, hello.
Seriously.
They'll get around to it. But they're proving the concept. They're getting the most important things right. And, you know, trying to do that, which they were talking about, like, what's the killer app? What's the one reason why you would buy this to use it? And like,
change brightness and darkness. That's why I would do it.
Well, I mean, but their whole thing was like, figure out the killer app, really get that, and then add the other stuff later. Like with the iPhone, cut and paste was not the killer app. And so they were just like, yeah, we'll get around to it when we get around to it. But we've got higher priorities, like bringing you the full internet.
Right.
Which was amazing. And which I was like, okay, legitimate, but come on. They're just getting started. They said that the voice controls are a bit buggy, which the fun part is they said that there could be someone next to you who says, okay, Glass, or gives a command and it'll listen to
him. Oh, that's funny. That's an interesting dilemma because, I mean, you know, that's one of those – that's probably much more difficult to do with a software update, whereas that might require a hardware fix. But that's something, once again, that you can fix. I mean, you know, it's like – and my example is going to be if I were to ask Siri – if I hit the Siri button on my iPhone – and I'm holding the phone towards me, and I ask it a question at the same time somebody else asks it a question, Siri's going to respond to my question because it's got noise-canceling stuff, and it kind of knows where the sound is coming from. Mm-hmm. That might require additional microphones so that it can do that sort of noise-canceling
stuff.
Sort of
like it can feel your head vibrate when you're talking.
Right. You know, reverse. Because it's got the bone mic that, like, vibrates your skull in order to send sound into it. It might need something it's very cool. It might need a reverse, might need a bone mic in order to pick up you talking.
Like mutter to yourself.
Well, I was going to say, it's actually, if you read later into the Ender's Game series, Andrew Wiggin, he gets this headpiece that does work that way, and like he gets to the point where like he can communicate to this like super intelligent AI that he that is in his ear or on this like thing just by like moving his mouth and stuff, because it knows what his jaw movement is doing, and it works on that principle. And it's like, yeah, we're not that far
from doing
that sort of thing. Yeah, exactly. And it's a good series. You should read it and see the movie in November.
I read the first book and it was amazing.
Yeah,
I listened, to it, which was the way the author intended it to be consumed.
Really, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. And at the end of mine, which I don't remember how I got my hands on it, but they did an interview with the author about the book.
Scott Card.
Yeah, that guy. And and that was what he said. He goes, yeah, he designed it to be listened to. So he was like, so good job, because you just listened to it.
That's awesome.
Pat on the back. You're welcome, Mr. Card.
What's fascinating about it is, like, originally he wrote it as a novelette. It was a 30-page story, is all it would. And I've actually read the novelette.
Well, that was because he wanted to write the other books, and then suddenly realized he needed an intro for those.
Well,
ones.
Because they came back to him and they said we want you to write like a sequel, and he said he wanted to write Speaker for the Dead, and he came back. He's like, how about I do this? How about instead of Speaker for the Dead, I write Speaker for the Dead and Ender's Game? And they're like, are you serious? Okay, like, great, yeah. And then Ender's Game becomes, you know, debatably one of the best science fictions ever.
Why are we debating?
Because this is the example I always give. Best science fiction books.
This is so unfair. How come you can type and it doesn't block you out?
I don't actually know. That was weird. Because when you do that, the number one link, see our attempt, I don't want the 50 essential. I want the 50. I hate you so much.
I love Business Insider. See what smart people are reading right now.
Yeah, I know. So, like, number one in, according to Wikipedia, is... Oh, this might actually be in no particular order. This is in chronological order. That's stupid. I don't... Ugh. This is so dumb. Why? How do I get one? Let's 10 best top 10 sci-fi books of all time. What? Okay, this is not working at all. I'm moving on. The point is that not everybody always agrees that it's number one. Sometimes they think it's number two. But it's always like top three. Now, pretty much no matter who you talk to. Sometimes
what are the other top ranking?
Dune is usually up in the top three. Yeah. Ender's Game is in the top three, and sometimes Foundation, the Foundation series, the first one, gets thrown in there. Sometimes one of your Orwellian, like 1984-esque type books, or Aldous Huxley, those will get
commentaries on society. That's not like science fiction.
Yeah, it's pretty. You think about 1984; it was pretty science fiction-y when it was written.
Well, yeah, but that wasn't the intent for it to be science fiction. It was the intent was to be a commentary on society.
No, it was a dystopic science fiction. It counts.
Fine.
I am the official ruling body on these things.
Okay. You are more expert at it than I am. Okay, so continuing on with the old list here.
Yeah.
Let's see here. You still need a smartphone and use glass outdoors because it doesn't have built-in cellular connection, essentially. Which is a good thing because then the battery life would be like 2 hours.
Yeah, what's interesting about that is that they do treat it as a tethered thing. So you're like, people are really annoyed because...
Whatever, I mean, that's what it is. It's like the iWatch is going to be tethered. My Pebble is tethered. That's the way it will be. Your smartphone will be your computer.
Well, the thing is that the smartwatch isn't tethered. It doesn't require a tethering plan because it's just Bluetooth. It's a additional Bluetooth screen. Whereas because this can actually do internet on the screen, it'd be like having an iPad using, you know, tethered to your iPhone, and so it actually have to pay the extra money to use it as a hotspot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what's annoying about it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. This one's interesting. It's hard to take off glass. Which I was like,
I've seen people take it off. Right. Yeah.
But that what they were saying is that it's just one piece and it can't be folded to make smaller. Which,
once again, this is such a stupid article, Business Insider. Why would you even mention that? That's a, it's a beta thing physically. Like it, the next one will have foldable ear things.
I'm just,
oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I said, responding to messages is tough. You can't really edit your responses. If you make a mistake, you just got to start all over.
Well,
very next sentence is like, much of these things can be fixed over time by Google. These are hardware and software tweaks. Like,
yeah.
But they still come back to like, they're like, what is the use case for glass? What is that killer app where you're like, I want this so I can do X that I can't do any other way, which I think is like the exact same thing. People were like, well, what about the iPad? What's so amazing about that? That you can't do with your phone. Okay. You're like, well, just try it. Okay. And you'll understand.
Right. And it's one of those things. I mean, this is such a classic. It's a new, you know, I talk about this on the show every once in a while. This is one of my principles of creativity and technological advancements. If you learn nothing from the show, tell all your friends this one. It's that the music will always fill the venue that it's – the music will be designed for and fill the venue that you put it in. If you're performing in a big hall, you will write music that sounds good in a big hall. If you're playing music on the radio, you will write music that sounds good on the radio. And you will use the technology, you will fill the venue, and changes in venue are oftentimes as much a driver of creativity as anything. And what they're doing is they're creating a new venue. They're literally creating a new way to design stuff. And so the question becomes, yeah, what's the killer app? That's a dumb question because there isn't the killer app right now. The killer, you know, what they're asking is they're saying what they want to know is, why should I learn to paint? What point me at the work of genius? And you're like, well, okay, Leonardo hasn't painted, you know, his Da Vinci yet. And that was what? I don't know. He,
wow.
You know,
wow.
That's really dumb. You know,
Leonardo hasn't painted his Da Vinci yet.
Yeah, exactly.
If he ever will.
Yeah, probably not. But the point is that there is no work of genius yet because we're just working out the mechanics of painting. Like,
right.
You know, and the thing is, and this is actually the reason why I wanted to get to it, because there's another video that I want y'all to go watch. It's going to be on the website, furloughbros.com or furloughbrothers.com, if you are so inclined. It's an Engadget video, but they went to this, it was a tech show, and it's the MIT Media Labs Smart Objects Eyes On is what they call it. And it's a form of, what's the word? I'll describe it because it's not actually the greatest video in the world, but you should watch it anyways. What's the not virtual reality? Where like you overlay images? No. We talked about it. I can't believe I can't remember what the term is. But it's like when you have a video of your screen, like you're taking a video and you overlay like images and stuff on top of it.
Oh.
It's not virtual reality. It's a It was like the term of the year 2 years ago. Everybody loved it. Enhanced reality?
No, augmented reality.
Augmented reality. There we go. So it's basically an augmented reality display, and it's on his iPad. And what's really cool is he's got these two boxes sitting on a table. One of them has a little knob and like a speaker area. And then there's another one that's just a speaker. And what he does is he takes his screen and he goes, like, basically this is an augmented reality. This, all it has is a very simple interface. It has a knob that you can use for volume. And he goes, but what happens is when you have your iPad, you point it at it, and all of a sudden a whole slew of display comes up. augmented on top of the thing, and it all does it like it knows where it is, so it keeps the image in proper relation to the speaker, and it shows you all the different channels and stuff and all of this different things. And he goes, so what you do is now, instead of this not being volume, now it allows you to pick different channels. So as he like goes through it, it allows him to like cycle through stuff, and he can interact with the physical object looking at the screen, looking at the iPad, or he can interact with the iPad. And when he interacts with the iPad, he goes like, let's say, you know, we've got the music playing now. Okay, that's cool. He goes, but I want to turn on this speaker. And so he angles the thing so that it can see the radio, the main mount, and the speaker. And on the iPad screen, he clicks on the radio, and then he drags to the speaker, and you see a line draw across it, and all of a sudden the speaker turns on, because they're all three connected. They're all working together. And so it's this augmented reality, and it goes, now the screen goes away, and all you have is this cool looking speaker with like a volume control. Like, that's really awesome in a not practical at all sort of way, but I really like it in concept. And what I like about it in concept is this idea of the augmented reality, and because all of a sudden, and this is like the brilliance of it, is that this thing, you know, the iPhone, its brilliance, you know, one of the things that made it brilliant was the idea that we're going to take this small screen that everybody has, and we're going to make it a huge screen. And by making it a huge screen, we're going to turn everything into a visual or a virtual button on it. And basically what they're doing is they're making the argument is that when you use augmented reality properly, everything becomes a big screen. Ah. And so if you just hold your iPad in front of you, now everything's a touch surface. Now everything is a display surface. And if you design stuff specifically for it, and you design a world that kind of all works together, all of a sudden you turn your screen off and nothing has a display on it, but when your screen's in front of you, now it's got a display. Well, that's really cool, except it's annoying when you have to hold an iPad.
Right. But when you have
Google glasses, this is when all of a sudden everything is a big screen. And that's the thing that, like, you just don't understand. It's like your dashboard on your car goes away. Why would you need a dashboard? All the information's on your heads-up display, on your face. And so now it's exactly where it needs to be at all times. You never need to look at the speedometer on your dash, because your speed is just on your face. It's in the universe in front of you. You just see it. Or, you know, or like all of your radios. It completely changes how you design it. What it does is it allows you to change how you design the world that you're looking at.
How crazy would that be, where it's like you have a television in your living room that's a blank screen, but you're all looking at the television watching your own channel?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think you would actually do that specifically, but the idea that TV screens, well, it's funny. I mean, I think we've all kind of felt this for a while, but it's like, I don't need a TV screen in my house. Why would I need that? What I want is a couple of screens that fit over my eyes that are super high resolution and fill up my view.
Yeah.
That's really what I want. The only thing that I really would miss from that experience is the sound. I want the sound that's going to make my body rumble. I'm going to feel it in my bones when the dinosaur takes a step. Yeah, and that's the only limitation to that technology that I have. But if you remember,
so I gotta have your smart chair to go with it.
Exactly. For those of you that have been listening to the show for far too long, when we first started doing the show, I told of this experience. I went to this music festival in San Jose, California.
That's right.
And one of the things that they were doing, there's a lot of really good music. One of my favorite bands was playing there. But my cousin and I went, and she and I walked in, and we saw this like really weird scene with a bunch of people like dancing around doing their thing, but there's no music playing. We're like, what the heck is this? So we walk up. And what they do is they hand you these headphones, and you pop the headphones on, and what you realize is the DJ who's doing his, like, mix thing, he is controlling the signal, and the signal is a short, high-quality band signal that's going to all the headphones. You put the headphones on, all of a sudden you're in the middle of a club. There's music going on all over the place, but you can't
hear
it. You've got headphones on. Yeah, and all of you are listening to the same music. You're all singing together. You're all dancing together, and it's just like a big, like, party scene out in the middle of nowhere. Music's going. That's what it's going to be like on your eyes. That's what it's going to be like in your ears. Like, all of a sudden, everything becomes like, you can have a party.
A big party.
Exactly.
I love
it. And it's like, when you start to think about it in that context, when you start to think about
Why do you need to go to Mars? Just bring Mars to you.
That's what I'm saying, dude. Pretty much, what's that one movie with Total Recall? It's a Total Recall experience. That's it. Except with all the, without all the lobotomies and murder and death and whatnot. Hopefully, right? No guarantees. But you know, it's one of those things where it's like, it drives me nuts that people are so short-sighted and like, but what's the killer app? You know, like, you can't see this. Like, you can't even, you're so short-sighted, you can't imagine this at all. And what really bothers me most about Google Glass, honestly, the biggest limitation to it is it's only one screen. It's only one eye. So you can't do...
Today.
Well, that's the important part. You can't do split images. So you can't do 3D-esque things. But... You know, you can't give dimension to stuff, but it's like you've got this device that they're gonna put.
Did you hear? Flat's the new thing, man. Everything's going flat. Who wants 3D?
That's textures. Totally what it is.
Just flat.
Yeah, that's right. That's That's Thanks, Johnny Ives. I'm actually super stoked to see what they're doing with iOS 7. I think Johnny Ives is a genius of design, and I love the Windows Phone 8 interface because I'm all about like the shadowless textures or like super simple textures and or not textures, super simple flat shapes, shades and stuff. I love it. But the fact of the matter is, I also like 3D interaction. Like I'm a complex individual, is what
you
I am.
You are. Sounds like.
But
just give me simple 3D.
Exactly. But I think it's one of those things where it's like very soon here you're going to be able to have like these really crazy, you know, visual overlays on everything. And you know, people who ask the question like, "What's the killer app on this all?" It's you have a device that knows what you're looking at and it knows where your head is. It knows what you're looking at and it can add information to the rest of the world. And yeah, right now they're adding the easy stuff like text messages
and time.
Emails and the time, but that's
driving
not,
directions.
I'm going to say, but that's not what makes it exciting. What makes it exciting is when it really like all of a sudden, you know, that one.
So how long do you think it'll take for that all of a sudden moment to happen?
I'll bet next year.
Oh.
I'll bet by next year, MIT, they've already done a thing where, like, your friend, they do, like, a little, like they do a circle in front of you. Google Glass identifies what they look like, and now it will track them in a crowd. So it will pick out where your friend is faster than you will, and it'll highlight them. You know, stuff
That's
like
crazy.
That, you'll start to see that sort of thing take off really, really quickly, and because you get even more processing power from, like, your phone, from the headphones, and this is, I was about to say this terrible thing, but, like... Okay, so you go into a bar and you're like, you know how you usually have beer glasses and which makes the girls cuter? Now Google Glass can help too. It's augmented reality. It makes everything better. Like it's like kind of ugly chick.
Well, I don't think it'll happen in a year, but I think 3 years from now.
I think what you'll see is the beginnings of it. And you'll see the first apps that really do augmented reality right in next year. And I bet within 5 years it'll be one of those things where people will ask the question, how did I do this before? And what will become really weird is that within 10 years, you'll start to realize that so much of our world has been designed to be looked at on the other side of a sheet of glass. Whether it's pulling your phone up and using your phone as a piece of glass because you don't have your glasses with you, or your Google Glasses, or your iPad, but you will realize that we're going to start designing a world. All of our and our industrial design will be made in the context of something that doesn't need that you're supposed to look through glass at this thing. And when you turn the glass off, you'll see a different world. Or everybody who's looking at the same object will see it differently. Everybody who looks at the refrigerator will see it differently. Mom will see, you know, whatever. Son will see whatever. Dad will. This is a terrible example because it's not. You know, there's no examples given. But that's these real world objects. These physical things will. You know, you'll design. Why would you paint your walls anymore when you can just do whatever design you want on your headset? You know, you're just like everybody. Everybody in the house could have a different. different house design as you walk into the room.
Finally, go to a live football game and see the line and follow the ball and
exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Add the stats to the screen that I care about, and you
right.
can add stats
highlight
that you
the
care
characters
about.
That you care about.
I care about.
About
this player. Follow him. Let me know when he right. goes into the game.
Exactly, and you just sit there and you go like, and we're going to design a world that these all these things interact together. We already are designing a world where all these things interact
Mass
together.
Mass customization. That's what that's going to enable. And it's like allow for like multiple windows on your screen of life.
Right, and it's funny. It's these things like they sound crazy and like they'll happen so fast and like wow, I don't know if we can deal with that. We're like, dude, we're on the iPhone 5. It's 5 years old. And it's radically changed how we interact with our world. Like, don't worry about it. This is going to be fast. It's going to be breakneck speeds where the price of these things are just going to drop. The battery life is going to extend. The connectivity is going to improve. The overall experience is going to be better. And, yeah, there will always be a $800 pair of glasses. Probably made by Apple. But there will also always be a $100 pair of glasses, probably made by, somebody who makes cheap stuff. But they'll all be kind of pointed in this direction of, mass customization, the augmented reality writ large. And I don't know. To me, that's exciting. To me, that's like really cool. That is the killer app. And it frustrates me when you're like, dude, how y'all not excited about this? I don't actually get why you're like you wonder at all. I don't know. I realized.
So I just had a viewer send the Productivity Future Vision by Microsoft from 2011. Where do you remember that that video where they? You know, Microsoft shows off like it's a huge augmented reality and their vision for it. Yeah, like that, but totally awesomer. Okay.
Yeah, it'll actually have some color because people like colors. Like that's the worst part of that is like everything is like pasty. It's like hospital white and transparent. Whereas like I think that's one of the exciting things about this stuff is that you think about it. It's like I actually think that this will add more art to the world. This will add more.
And
color
I would say
to
like this is real too. It's not.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not a concept video.
Right. You know, and I think it adds more. The biggest problem that these things will run into is that they're going to add so much more noise to the world. In the traditional sense of information that conflicts with what the information is supposed to get there. But over time, and I think we're already starting to see a trend with this with iPhones, is these like people are learning how to use them to be more productive and pay more attention. And it's like one of the things that I do is I sometimes will get in trouble because it's like I'll sit down to a meal and I'll play a game of Sudoku right out the gate. I'll open up Sudoku and I'll play a game because it's like my mind just gets chattery and buzzy. And what people didn't realize before cell phones is I just never paid attention. I never engaged because my brain was just busy thinking about other things. Whereas I've learned that if I play a game of Sudoku, it's sort of like getting up. It's like it's like letting a 5-year-old do a lap around the building and burn off a little bit of energy. It allows me to focus. That's right. I do have the brain of a 5-year-old when it comes to my attention span. And
that's okay. I'm watching this video and totally enthralled by it. So go ahead.
I get it. I shrug my shoulders in this whole thing, and I just like, I don't know. I feel like people have really missed the boat on why this is exciting. And
they'll come
there's
around.
There's no imagination in the world. Well, they will.
There is excitement about it, and I think it's just some people are like, come on, guys, really, is it that exciting? And it's like, yeah, it is actually.
Yeah, you're an idiot. You've got no appreciation for the future.
All right. We have spent entirely way too much time on that topic, which will make it interesting for cuts later. That's all right.